It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. One day last week, Mr. McGee was muttering to himself like this.
Keep off the grass, watch out for children, no left turn, proceed with caution.
Playing policeman, McGee?
No, I'm counting up the signs I saw on my way downtown today. Between here and the Third National Bank, there must be 30 different signs telling you what to do and when to do it.
Well, my favorite one is on the bus. In case of an emergency, break the glass and pull the handle.
Wouldn't life be great stuff, Molly, if every time we had a problem hanging around, a little sign popped up telling us how to handle it?
Well, I can think of some problems that a little planning ahead would take care of almost that easily. Like the one a mother faces if dad dies unexpectedly while the youngsters are still growing up. That's when a Prudential Family Income Plan steps right in and gives her the help she needs when she needs it most.
It's a good plan, all right. And it doesn't cost too much either because it provides that extra protection only during the years the children are growing up.
This Family Income Plan of Prudential's provides the money you'd need for food, clothing, shelter, and school.
The man that has the complete story on this Family Income Plan is your Prudential agent. Why don't you ask him to drop around and tell it to you?
All yesterday afternoon, Mr. McGee practiced duck calling in his living room. I must have gotten pretty tiresome to the neighbors because right in the middle of one of his mating calls, a wooden decoy duck came sailing through the front window with a note tied around its neck reading,
"Here's your mate. Now go away and lay an egg. Of all the gall. Me, the best darn duck caller in town, answered by a wooden decoy. I'm going to get to the bottom of this today if it takes me a week."
Oh, McGee, now you shouldn't work yourself up.
Huh?
The only damage was to the windowpane, and there was a little crack in it anyway.
The glass can easily be repaired, Mrs. McGee, but the injury to my pride is quite another thing. I'm an easy bruise and a slow heel. Some smart Weisenheimer in this neighborhood is going to find out.
Oh, now you shouldn't be vindictive. After all,
I ain't vindictive. I'm just sore, that's all. And I'm going to find out who done it.
Oh, dear.
Yes, sir. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is take this wooden decoy duck down to the police station.
What? Why on earth?
To see whose fingerprints is on it. Where's my hat? Oh, on my head. Okay, kiddo, I'm gone. Well, there was a good clear set of fingerprints showed up on this duck, all right.
No, really? Could they identify them? Whose are they?
Mine. The next thing to do now is check the note. I can trace who wrote this note through two ways.
Yeah?
First, what he says and how he says it. Listen, here's your mate. Now go away and lay an egg. This was wrote by a guy that fancies himself a comic. He thinks that's funny.
Well, I shouldn't admit this, but I think so, too.
And I got another way to identify him, too, by the handwriting.
I never thought of that.
And the more I look at it, the more it seems to me there's something vaguely familiar about that chiropody.
Chiropody?
That's the science of handwriting, my dear. All us scientists...
No, McGee, the science of handwriting is chirography.
Oh, it is? Well, what's chiropody?
That is something done by a foot doctor.
A foot doctor? Oh, ho, ho! I was right. This is chiropody. I recognize the handwriting.
Huh?
This was wrote by a heel of a doctor named Gamble.
Oh, no, McGee.
Must be some of his handwriting around here that I can compare it with. He kept the Scrabble score we played the other night, and aha! Look at that. Compare them handwritings.
Oh, McGee, I don't...
Give me that phone. Never mind, I got it.
Wait, dearie, what are you going to do?
I'm cracking this case faster than I... Hello, operator. Give me the cops, quick.
Oh, McGee, wait. I don't think you ought to call the police on this. You don't know for sure.
Hello, cops. I mean, police headquarters. Give me Sergeant Breen. Oh, this is Breen, huh? Look, Sarge, this is Mr. McGee that was just in there about that duck that was through my living room window.
I wish you'd wait till you talk to the doctor.
No, Sarge. I explained to you before. It couldn't have flew through the window. It was through the window. It's a wooden decoy, that's why. So it couldn't have flew through. It had to be through. Now you listen to my theory. This outrage was palpitated on me at exactly 6:13 p.m. last night.
How can you be so definite about the time?
Hold it a minute, Sarge. Because that decoy hit me on the back of the head and shoved my face into the clock on the mantel, and it stopped at 6:13. Now, Sarge, I want to report on the whereabouts of one Dr. George Gamble at 6:13 last night. Because what's that? What's that? Are you sure? Oh. Okay. Don't get sore. My gosh. Now, if that ain't...
What is it?
At 6:13 p.m. last night, Doc Gamble was right there at the police station.
It sounds like Sergeant Breen gave him an ironclad alibi.
Ironclad? Steelclad. The Sarge was showing Doc a new pair of keyless handcuffs. He snapped it on the both of them and then forgot the combination. Of all the people in town, Doc couldn't have thrown that duck. But who else could? Dad ratted, I won't rest until I find...
There's more fun with the McGee's shortly.
The soap that gets you extra clean is Dial, Dial, Dial. The soap that keeps you extra clean is Dial, Dial, Dial.
Men who hate to fuss with separate deodorants really go for the Dial idea. Because just your daily bath or shower with Dial keeps you nice to be around all the time. You see, normal perspiration has no odor until skin bacteria attack it. They cause the odor. Ordinary soaps leave thousands of these bacteria. But Dial removes up to 95% of them. For Dial's the only leading soap with AT7 or hexachlorophene. There's nothing else as good. And Dial's AT7 clings to your skin, continuously protecting you for several days if need be. Dial doesn't stop normal perspiration, but it does stop odor before it starts. Aren't you glad you use Dial soap? And don't you wish everybody did?
Now, let me see. The culprit must have stood about here to throw that duck. Aha! Footprints in the flower bed. A man's heel print. With a... well, looks like a metal crescent nailed on it. Aha.
Hey there, Johnny. What you doing with the magnifying glass? Trying to start a fire in the grass?
No. I'm on the trail of... hey, maybe you can help me, old-timer. Looky here. With this grocery job of yours, you get around, don't you?
Like the belt on Jackie Gleason's bathrobe, son.
You're a keen observer.
And a sharp watcher, too.
Now tell me, do you know anybody who wears shoes with metal crescents on the heels?
Yes, I do, Johnny.
Who is it?
Me.
You?
Sure. Look, I'll show you my heel.
Aha. Now I'm getting somewhere. All right, old-timer. Where were you on the night of last night at 6:13 p.m.?
6:13 p.m.?
That's what I said. 6:13 p.m.
That's what I was doing at 6:13 p.m. Putting mustard on my hot dog, Johnny. Over to the Nelsons, next door here.
Are you sure? How do you know it was 6:13?
That's the time somebody flung a wild goose through your window, wasn't it, Johnny?
Yes.
Well, there I was, sitting. Daughter was there, she can witness for me, putting mustard on my hot dog when we all heard this crash. Got me so rattled, I dabbed mustard all over my finger and liked to bit it off. Huh. You almost owe me a new finger, Johnny. 'Cause your window got broke, wasn't it? Gonna get me a lawyer and see what...
For the love of... another perfect suspect ruined by a too-good alibi. I'm gonna look at that duck again. Must be some clues on it, which I must have overlooked. Hey, Molly.
Yes, McGee?
Last evening, when you were over to the Nelsons, the time during which that duck decoy was heaved in here...
What about it?
Who was there? Who was present with you?
Oh, just Sally Nelson and the old-timer. Les was over here, you know. The old-timer was eating a hot dog. Why?
Oh, nothing. Just sleuthing around is all. Doggone it, everybody seems to have an alibi in this thing, but... hey, wait a minute. There's only one way to get the truth here, and I'm going to do it.
Now, nothing drastic, McGee. Please, don't do anything.
Relax, my dear, and hand me the phone. You're about to have a ringside seat when Inspector McGee solves the case of who flung the dad-ratted decoy.
McGee, I'm a very busy man. What did you call me here for?
Yeah, what?
Well, I didn't call you, Teeny. You just invited yourself in.
She did not. I invited her. She's my guest.
Yeah.
Now, McGee, will you tell us what you're up to? Are you going to reenact the crime or what?
I'm just going to lay all my cards on the table and put it up to each and every suspect here.
Well, I'm afraid we've all got us alibis, Mr. McGee.
Yeah, you got a perfect alibi, Les. Being right beside me when the crime took place, and boy, do you need one.
Oh, McGee, that's no way to talk to Lester.
You're so right. I ought to be a lot tougher with him. My friend, my pal, my next-door neighbor. Look at this decoy. Look at the initials on the bottom. L.N. Les Nelson, ain't it?
Well, I will be jiggered. I plumb forgot about those initials.
But, say now, Mr. McGee, you know that decoy could have been borrowed from me without me knowing it.
It could have, but was it? Look at his face, everybody. Guilty as a cat in a canary cage.
Sure is.
Don't you hand me any of that, you sanctimonious old sneezer.
Huh?
Them were your shoe prints under the window, all right. Only you got an alibi, too. That's what baffles me. Every last one of you. Y'all got alibis. Doc and Les and the old timer and Sally and Molly and Teeny. Hey, wait a minute. Teeny, where were you last night at 6:13 o'clock?
Who, me? When?
Stop stalling now. You know, out with it.
Don't say a word, Teeny.
Aha, so that's it. You better talk
about... Now, wait a minute, Mr. District Attorney. I'll confess. I was the one who wrote that note.
Just as I suspected all along.
But it was my decoy, Doc. That was my little contribution.
Well, I didn't tell you, Johnny. Whilst I was eating that hot dog, I didn't have my shoes on.
No. He loaned them to me for me to wear when I threw the duck.
What?
When you gave that last duck call, boy, did I answer you.
You sure did, Teeny.
Well, the truth at last. A fine bunch of friends. I couldn't ask for worse enemies than you, my friends. I'll sell the house, that's what I'll do. I'll sell the house. I'll move away, that's what I'll do.
Don't be so high strung.
You backstabbers, look at you. You, Doc, and you, Les, and Teeny, and the old-timer.
Oh, now listen, don't give them all the credit, McGee.
Huh?
I'll admit they did their share, but the idea was mine.
Huh?
I thought up the whole thing, and I tied the note on the duck's neck.
What? Oh, my own flesh and wife. Oh, this is the...
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. Tomorrow evening, there'll be a bright melodic sound coming from your radio. It's the lovely lilting voice of Dinah Shore. Dinah is with you twice a week, each Wednesday and Friday evening, with a delightful quarter hour of after-dinner listening to start your evening off in fine musical fashion. And you'll enjoy the fun, too, as Dinah brings her cheerful and friendly personality to the entire family. And speaking of Friday, there's another musical highlight in store for you tomorrow. It's the popular Mr. Frank Sinatra. And you'll hear your favorite songs by Frankie, plus some casual and informal chatter in the Sinatra style between songs. It's a melody treat designed to brighten your early evening hours. The Dinah Shore Show and the Frank Sinatra Show. And, of course, the Friday night lineup tomorrow night includes such other great shows as Friday with Garraway and Cavalcade of Sports, all brought to you by NBC Radio, your best bet in entertainment tomorrow night and every night of the week.
Well, I'll admit it was a dirty trick, dearie, but those duck calls were enough to drive me to it. Don't be sulky, McGee. Say something. McGee, say something, for goodness sakes.
Good night.
That's better. Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as the old-timer, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, and Robert Easton as Les. This is John Wall telling you that there'll be a gasoline price war in Wistful Vista Sunday. And if you have any imagination, you can picture what this does to Mr. McGee. Here it's Sunday on Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.